A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yonah Gizel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel Amad Aleph, 153a, nearing the end of the Masechta, page 305. Starting the new perek, towards the bottom of the page, the Mishnah tells us. See? Mi shehich shech bederech, a person who finds that it's getting dark while he's traveling, the sun is going down, and he's still on his way. So what does he have with him that's really problematic? His wallet. What's he going to do? Nosen kiso la nachri, we have a special dispensation that he's allowed to give his wallet to a non-Jew to hold for him. Kuf Nun Gimel Amad Aleph 153a. Normally you're not allowed to give something to the non-Jew to hold for you, to walk, because just like you're not allowed to do the transfer, the carrying, you're not allowed to ask somebody else to do it for you. But that is a rabbinic thing. Really, the non-Jew is not bound by laws of Shabbos. And therefore, we give this dispensation over here because we're worried, what's he going to do because he's got his wallet with him? Let's drop into the Gemara, third line of the section here. And the Gemara asks, "My time is Sharu Le Rabban and Lemesav Kisei Lenachri. Why are you allowed to give your wallet to the non-Jew?" And the Gemara answers, "Kim Luhu Le Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon assessed it. De ein adam maimid atzmo al mamono. A person does not stand idly by regarding his money. He takes action. Ilo sharislei, if you don't give him a solution regarding his wallet, regarding his money, also la asuye dalat amos b'rishus harabim, we're worried he's going to carry it for amos and rishus harabim, which would be the violation of transfer. And therefore we're looking for some solution for this guy. And the solution over here is, do amira la'akum, give it to the non-Jew, and like this, you won't lose your wallet, and you won't be tempted to be in violation of your own carrying on Shabbos. Now,
what seems like the problem giving to a non-Jew?
What's the problem?
Nothing. I don't see any problem.
You're not allowed to, giving it to him. You're asking him to hold it for you. He's going to give it back to you. That means
right,
he's carrying
right.
it for you.
Right. Whether it's wallet or anything else.
Yes.
What seems like the problem? I don't see the problem at all giving to
What's the
general.
Problem?
Right.
The problem is you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos.
Yeah, but I'm assuming, it's not before Shabbos.
You're
it's
giving
actual,
it to
actual,
him. Well, very
like
good. No. So you're going to give it to him. Let's say you're going to give it to him before Shabbos starts, which is how Rashi words it, miba od yom, while it's still day, but you're asking him to do malacha for you on Shabbos, right? For you. A person owns a nursing home, and he asks the non-Jewish staff to do malacha for him on Shabbos without any... Usually, the correct way to do it is you sell the nursing home or something to your head nurse, and he, she makes money on the deal, or you figure something out. Otherwise, you're asking them. You could have your whole factory working on Shabbos, if not for Amira Lenachri. You have your foreman is not Jewish, and you have everybody else working. Unless there's a reason for leniency, unless there's this problem that we're banking on it, that you won't be able, I don't know you, but there'll be Jews out there who won't be able to give up on their wallet. They're going to carry it themselves, so we give them the leniency, mibod yom, mm-hmm. while it's still day, but you're asking the non-Jew to do it for you on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Now, the principle that caused the leniency, the catalyst over here, is the statement, ein adam maimid atzmo al mamono, a person does not stand idly by regarding his money. Where else did we have this principle? Person does not stand idly by his money. We have the case in Parshas Mishpatim, Bo b'machteres, a person tunnels into the home. Mm-hmm. So there's a case there where you're allowed to kill the intruder. don't know if every case, but there is a case where you're allowed to kill the intruder. Why? The Gemara explains. Because the intruder knows that you're not going to stand idly by while he takes your money. And therefore, when he tunneled in, he had in mind that if the owner stands up against me, I'll beat the living daylights out of him. In which case, you're allowed to preemptive, knowing what this guy is up to. But what's it all based on? It's based on that you know, that I know, that you know, that I know, that a guy does not let his money get taken without putting up a fight. Now, that's a principle. That's true. Person does not stand idly by. Question is that right? In other words, is that a human fallibility? And we're supposed to be able to disengage better from our money? And this guy who's walking is supposed to be able to give up his wallet. But unfortunately, we can't assume he'll be able to give up his wallet. So we accommodate him. Really, you're supposed to let and not kill the intruder. You know, like, what is correct and what is human fallibility? So it is interesting. On the one hand, the Gemara does cite an example of a person who's supposed to disengage from his money and has trouble doing so. The Gemara gives the example, Tova sefinaso bayom. If a person's ship drowns at sea, sunk at sea, so the Gemara gives it an example, he's still obligated to recite Shema at the proper time. He's still obligated to do mitzvahs. He has to put on tefillin. Nothing changed in his life. I'm sorry for his loss, but he still has to do mitzvahs. And you're supposed to be able to disengage. On the other hand, we do find, for example, Parshas Vayishlach, the famous incident with Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu was willing to risk his life for the pachim ketanim, for those small jugs. And the explanation that's given by the Mefarshim is because a tzaddik is so careful not to steal that when he finally earns an honest dollar, it means a lot to him. I finally earned it clean. I moved away 10, 12 times from shady deals, from deals that would infringe on someone else. I worked so hard for clean money that it means a lot to me. So you do have both themes playing themselves out, and you have to know how to apply them. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, the end of the fifth line in the new Perek, Dafka Kiso. We're talking specifically about a wallet that you already own. Ava metziolo. But a found object, that doesn't work. So if you see an item on the floor, you can't tell the non-Jew, pick that up for me. That doesn't work. Pshita, the Gemara says, I knew that too. Kiso tanan. It says wallet. Mahu detem, I would have thought to adin afilu metzio, even a found thing, vaydiktani kiso urcha demil saktani, and this that it said, wallet. It's only telling you the normal case, but a newfound object might be the same rule, kamash malon, comes to tell you that metzio is indeed excluded from this leniency. Falo amron, but we only said that it's excluded, delo osi liyadei, that it didn't get to your hand yet. Aval asir liyadei, but once the found object got to your hand, you already acquired it and you owned it before Shabbos, kikise domi, then it has the same rule as your wallet, and you're allowed to entrust it to the non-Jew on your behalf. There's a fascinating Gemara in the beginning of Bava Metzia which says that a person who sees a lost object, there's no simon, there's no sign, there's no way for the person to claim it, the original owner. I see it. So according to the Gemara, there was a thought that because I see it, I think it might be mine. Kamash malan, until you pick it up, I don't care who saw it first. Seeing it doesn't acquire it for you. You have to pick it up. So we have a similar problem over here. We're wondering, I see a diamond on the way, and I tell the non-Jew, pick it up for me. So that doesn't work. You can't have the non-Jew picking up something for you. But once you picked up the diamond and you acquired it, in the laws of Metziah, if someone would grab it out of your hand now, it's a thief. It's yours now. You picked it up, it's yours. So now you're allowed to entrust it to the non-Jew. So the Gemara says, but that's a bit of a novelty. You have to appreciate that. Because when the diamond was still on the floor, you didn't work for it. And because you didn't work for it, lo torach, so we're not worried that you're going to violate Shabbos for it. But once you picked it up, you're allowed to entrust it to the non-Jew. The question is, I still wasn't toreach, really. I mean, it's not major effort to have picked it up from the dirt. So either that tircha counts, or it could be it's more of a lo plug. Once Chazal said things that you own, you can give to a non-Jew, so they included something, no matter how you found it. We don't start tracing. How hard was it to make this $100? Once it's yours, you're allowed to entrust it to the non-Jew, because it's already in that category. Yours, we're worried you're going to continue carrying it, and therefore you're allowed to entrust it. Yashikoach, have a great day.